Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar večer, oziroma dobar dan še. Lep pozdrav v Eriš intervjuju. Tokrat bomo gostili Luisa Vaskeza iz osebe oziroma projekta The Soft Moon. Danes večer nastopijo v Menzi pri Koritu. Tole bo zelo zanimiv koncert. Pred njimi so še protko ena zelo, zelo zanimiva domača zasedba. Tudi precej nova, oziroma vsaj v tej podobi, kot smo slišali na nedavno objavljenem prvencu. Tako da gre za res zelo zanimiv tvojen koncert. Karte so še na voljo. Tako da z Luisom se bomo pa torej pogovarjali. Najprej bomo slišali par minut tele enega komada z njihove plošče, torej komada Want, potem se nam bo pa Luis pridružil v studiju. Zdaj se mi je pa v studiju pridružil torej Luis Vaskez. Luis, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Did I pronounce your surname right? Vaskez, Vaskez?
Yes, exactly, yeah, correct.
Okay. So yeah, you said we just talked a few words while the song was playing, and you said it's your first time here in Eastern Europe. You played a gig in Zagreb last night.
Yes.
How did that go?
It was great. It was surprising. I didn't know what to expect. It's always interesting to go to new places because I don't really know the fan base, you know. So it turned out to be great.
Mm-hmm. You know, is it like, I usually ask these bands when they come here before gigs, is it like, especially when they're on tours, is it like you're tourists during day and then a rock band during night, or is it a more focused on a performance?
No, it's very correct. We're actually quite the tourists during the afternoon. We try to see as much as possible and try the food and sightseeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, for the beginning, I should announce what soft moon music is like. If I said post-punk or post-industrial type of band, I guess that would be okay.
Yeah.
You know, but even saying that, I'm not sure how good it describes your music as it really should, you know, because of course there are those aesthetics, but to me it's all about really hypnotic and this intense, like overwhelming music. It drags you, you know, into the sound immediately, and it's really physical in a way, but also mental. So I was wondering, how do you cope playing that stuff every night? You know, you've been in touring first, I think, whole March in the States, and then you came straight to Europe.
Yeah,
it seems quite exhausting, you know, to be playing this stuff every night.
It's very exhausting and very emotional for me. I mean, every night is like it's like a release, you know, an emotional release, and so it's very hard on me. And in fact, I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes because I'm expressing my feelings to lots of people, and I feel very vulnerable. It's like I'm crying for help or whatever in front of people I don't know. So it's very intense for me. But at the same time, I'm not regretful of this experience. I feel it's necessary for my life.
Mm-hmm. You then take a long vacation after the tour ends, probably.
I would love to. Somewhere tropical.
You know, in your recent interviews, you often say that Soft Moon kind of became a full-on band. You were joined by three more musicians. Are you currently on tour with all three?
Or right now I'm on tour with two guys. We started as a three-piece, and then we were a four-piece for a short period of time, and then now we're back to a three-piece.
Same guys?
It's
that started with, or
it's no, one of the guys that was in the band in the beginning. He had to move on because he had a family. And he owns a business, so he's a very busy man, and he couldn't commit to all the touring. So
this new guy that joined you, I mean, you said that in between you became a four-piece band, so this now you're back to three-piece, so this third guy, did he took over what the previous guy was doing?
Yeah,
pretty much, because I heard that you got a new drummer. You worked previously without drummer.
Yeah,
I think
we started with Drum Machine, and then when we were a four-piece, we had a guy who was specifically on synthesizers, and then we had Kevin on drums. When the guy on synthesizers left the band, Kevin took the responsibility of the synthesizer as well as the drums. So now he's using a sequencer and things like that. So he's multitasking.
So now live, it's live drums or still Drum Machine?
It's a combination. It's live drums in combination with electronic sounds and things like that.
But is this more like a band, you know, to perform live, or do you see yourself collaborating in the studio as well?
That's something I go back and forth with in my mind. I'm not too sure how I want to proceed. I mean, the music is very much about my personal life and my dreams and just my personal journey. So I feel it's important that I write the music from within. But I mean, I am open to collaboration in the future if the timing's right.
I mean, obviously they heard something about your music that intrigued them, you know, because they were the ones that approached you if they could join the band. So you definitely probably share some similar views about music.
Yes.
But you still had, you know, a very specific and thought out idea of how Soft Moon music should sound. So how does collaborating, you know, with current band mates fits into that? Your vision?
I'm not sure yet. We haven't really tried.
Is it becoming a kind of more democratic kind of collaboration, or is it still you as the final thing?
It's still very much my vision. I feel like I'm not quite ready to hand over the baby, I guess, my baby. So I don't know. I'm open, but we'll just have to see what happens. I'm just gonna let things happen naturally. I don't like to predetermine or think about that kind of stuff. I just take it day by day, and if it happens, it happens.
But collaborating with these guys now, especially in the live context, did it open any new perspectives for you?
Yes, definitely.
Maybe some that you could point out.
Yeah. Well, when I first wrote the first record, I didn't expect the Soft Moon to go as far as it did. I didn't expect to play live or anything like that. So after forming the band and touring a lot, I started, you know, observing what worked live. And so going forward and writing music, I considered the live show when I started writing songs, when I didn't before.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was surprised when I read your answer to a question about the remix you did for Trent Reznor.
Uh-huh.
Because you said that you were afraid what his reaction is going to be because he's a perfectionist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you are not, and I was surprised by this, that you are not, you know, because your music, to me, it seems that it's worked out in smallest detail. Mm-hmm. So what did you think when you said you weren't a perfectionist?
I don't know, I was just, I think in some weird way it worked out, the fact that he's a perfectionist and I'm just kind of open to flaws and things like that. I was scared because I know he, you know, he's very meticulous and he's very, he pays a lot of attention to detail. So that's one of the main reasons why I was a little intimidated. But after working on it and halfway through the remix, I was very happy with the way it was coming out, and turned out that he really enjoyed the remix and said it was one of his favorites.
Apparently he was interested in them performing the song live.
Yeah.
Do you know if something happened out of that?
That's I think it's in the works for now. But yeah, the last thing I heard was he was planning on performing my version live, and I think possibly even releasing my version on the full length album. Which is,
nice.
We'll see what happens with that. But
Yeah, you were already talking about the first self-titled album, how you at first you didn't meant to perform music from it live.
Yeah.
And I read in some interview that apparently you wrote the first song in 1999.
Yeah.
So that's quite a long time ago. Then after that, you joined various punk and psych bands.
Yeah.
Until like 10 years down the line when you decided to release this record. So what made you decide, you know, it's time to dedicate your time fully to this project?
I discovered these three songs that I wrote in 1999 just randomly. And I just felt like it was unfinished. You know, I felt that there was something special there. And so when I rewrote one of the songs, it felt like therapy to me. It felt like something I needed to do. And it was that moment when I wrote, When It's Over, is when I realized that this is something important in my life and something that's going to help me learn who I am.
Mm-hmm. You said you rewrote it. Was it much different on the first version, that one 10 years
ago? It was just, I was using very amateur equipment, you know, as, you know, in 1999, mm-hmm. I didn't really know what I was doing.
So. It was more worked out production.
Yeah, more worked out. More. Yeah, I paid more attention to I guess sounds and production value and things like that.
But the feeling to it was
pretty
similar.
Yeah, I made sure that the feeling was still there.
Mm-hmm. You already said that you use music to. That your music is really personal to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you express your thoughts, fears, dreams. So meaning it's really personal. And in another interview you said that music from this first album apparently wasn't meant to be heard by public.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so?
Yeah.
So when did you become comfortable, you know, sharing it with other people?
I don't know, it's strange. I just shared a few songs, I put them on MySpace, and I put it up there just to show some friends. And very shortly after that, I got, you know, approached by Capture Tracks, the record label, and I said, "Wow, if a record label is interested, then maybe there's something there, and maybe I should feel more confident about what I'm doing."
Mm. Doesn't happen often that a record label contacts artists nowadays.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, you must send tons of demos to various labels to get noticed. But
yeah, there was a meaning to it, I think, and that's what I went with.
Mm-hmm. You know, now you speak quite openly about your really personal stuff, like childhood, depression, family. Mm-hmm. And people usually talk about that in privacy, you know, with their therapists. You channel that through your music. Do you set yourself a limit? Like, that is too personal, let's not get into that.
When talking with someone?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's only so much I feel like I could say. But I feel like I go very deep in terms of the music.
Mm.
Within the music, it's limitless in terms of how deep I can go. in terms of expressing those areas of my life.
And you're really good at expressing those areas with sounds, just sounds,
yeah.
And words, whether they are even if when there are words, they can't be really understood.
Yeah.
But I'm interested, did you ever try writing some lyrics and it didn't work out, or did you, you know, decide you're going to just use sounds from the start?
I just feel like, you know, when I try to write lyrics, I'm forcing myself to do something I don't feel as comfortable with. And so I kind of just do what feels natural for me and what feels easy for me in terms of the lyric content. I just feel most comfortable kind of burying my vocals or repeating a phrase that's important to me, or I feel like I'm saying enough with one word. It's just my style, but I mean, also the Soft Moon is a means for me to challenge myself. So maybe in the future, I might challenge myself and maybe work on some poetry or something.
You mentioned several times like krautrock is big influence on your music, also post-punk bands, you know, and lots of these bands, especially when it comes to post-punk, end of 70s, early 80s, usually in the media you can read that the media says that their music really reflects the cities they were coming from in their time, you know. I was talking to, I interviewed Peter Hook, he was here with a couple of weeks ago with his new band, and he said that at the time they were really just trying to express themselves, you know, through music. But now looking back, he sees why people would attribute, you know, cities they were coming from to their music, especially in the case of Joy Division, because he says that most pictures of Manchester were, funnily enough, are in black and white, so it instantly gives that dark impression, you know, that goes with their music. But that was interesting. You grew up in a totally contrasting place, in a Mojave Desert. But still the feeling in the music is quite the same. So I was wondering, how do you feel about some people attributing this, you're bringing up in desert, to your music? Do you see a connection there, or is it more about your childhood?
Well, I think there's definitely a connection to the environment. The desert was heavily influenced, heavily influenced my music, but also too my childhood was growing up in the desert as well. So they go hand in hand, the environment and my childhood. But what's interesting was when I was living in the desert, I didn't think about it. I was just there, and I remember being very bored, there's not much to do. It wasn't until I moved away from the desert, that's what gave me a perspective and a contrast to my upbringing. And I think that's what led me to tap into that and explore that world through music. Otherwise, I feel like if I stayed in the desert, I would never have that outside look at the environment I was in. So it took me moving to a different city to reflect on my upbringing. And
Did you find all that music, you know, from krautrock to post-punk while you were still in Mojave, or?
No, in the desert, I wasn't into krautrock at the time. I had not
Because I was surprised that it would find its way, you know, in the there, though now in the age of the internet, probably wouldn't be too hard, but still kind of doesn't seem right.
So
it was later that you discovered all this music.
It was later that I discovered krautrock and psychedelic music and things like that. When I was younger, I just listened to punk or metal or pop, you know, jazz and things like that. But it wasn't until I discovered krautrock that I realized that, you know, there's a big sense of freedom in music and exploration. And I think that's what I really found influential, was that there was no boundaries. There doesn't have to be boundaries in music,
especially when it comes to krautrock.
Exactly.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's influenced my approach to songwriting for sure.
Do you remember, was there a particular moment that made you decide that you should start making your own music? When you heard a particular band, maybe?
Maybe when I started getting into Can. I think when I heard Mother Sky, the track, or when I started listening to Noi, those kind of bands were a big reason for me going back to writing music on my own.
You know, there is a strong sense of repetition in your music as well. That could be, you know, to me, you could play a loop of one of your tracks all night long and it wouldn't get boring, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like electronic music works in that way.
Exactly.
Often.
Did you
have any experience with electronic music?
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the Detroit techno and house music, and you know, I am also influenced by electronic music, and which is why you can hear lots of repetition in my music. And also too, I think repetition creates sort of like a kind of like a hypnotism aspect.
Definitely.
To it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the more and more it repeats, the deeper and deeper it takes you into your own mind.
Mm-hmm. There's a strong visual aspect, mm-hmm, to Soft Moon as well. You work with Ron Robinson. He does videos for you. You said that for the song that we heard in the beginning, Quant, uh-huh, apparently the video was just released. Did I understand that right?
I worked with a different director on that one. His name is Grant Singer. Yeah, which it was just released literally like an hour ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Premiered on Pitchfork, I believe.
But about this visual aspect, mm-hmm, so Ron Robinson is working with you live as well, in live context?
He was. He's not. He's also... He's committed to his career, so we did a couple tours together. So now I still work with him, but then we work on visuals together. But then he doesn't tour with us anymore. We kind of bring our own projector. He gives me a DVD, and we you know,
go
we play that. And
you were talking about musical influences, but in some interview I read that film is a real inspiration for you as well. You, mm-hmm, mentioned Gaspar Noé, David Lynch.
Yeah.
And to me, their movies are kind of like your music, you know, really contrasting. On one side, you have this like extreme beauty, and on the other hand, this kind of claustrophobic feel to it.
Yeah.
Would you say this is just my interpretation? Or?
No, I think that's perfectly explained right there, yeah.
Your music is quite unique, you know, but maybe lately or in the recent years, there, especially in the underground, there's lots of stuff going on in this post-industrial or noise scene. Do you feel Soft Moon is a part of some scene in some way? Now based in San Francisco, is that so?
Or? Yeah, kind of based everywhere now. I don't really live anywhere anymore. Mm-hmm. I tour so much that I just kind of whenever there's a break, I decide where to live. I was just in Berlin for a while, and then I'll be going to Los Angeles. But I don't know what the Soft Moon's a part of. I think the Soft Moon maybe is a reaction to technology or the future in some way. But I try to be as unique as possible with the Soft Moon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't fit quite in this context with these underground bands that I mentioned, because to me, your music has a certain, well, at least to me, really pop appeal. Mm-hmm. Is that okay if I say that?
Yeah, no, pop is the first music I ever discovered, and I'm a huge fan of pop music, and I feel like I have certain elements of pop music, but in an unconventional way in my music.
Definitely. Do you know Tropic of Cancer?
Yes.
Yeah. You like?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
They kind of fit maybe into the similar context.
Yeah, it's funny. They always play every night that we've ever played so far on this tour. The DJs played a Tropic of Cancer song.
Yeah, it's
not tonight, I guess. Okay.
It'll
be a nice break, I guess.
You played at some big festivals, you know, despite being a relatively new band. How does that happen, you know, lots of effort from your side, or did you simply get invited because of your music, similar to experience with the record label?
It's just they're invitations usually. I'm not really a part of the booking process at all. I just kind of stay home, I make music, and then we get these offers, and it's just very surprising.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have like a managerial role within the band?
I used to, but I'm very happy to not have to play that role anymore. I just get to worry about the music and then the creative aspect of the Soft Moon. But now I have a manager, and he works on all the logistics and, you know, the strategies and things like that.
Nice. Yeah, you probably saw many cool bands play these festivals, bigger festivals. Yeah. Is there a particular one that stuck in your mind? Maybe a live performance you really enjoyed?
Yeah, I got to see Mazzy Star at one of these festivals, and I had never seen Mazzy Star live. And
I didn't know they still play live.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And it was funny because when they played the second night, but we were staying in the same hotel, I believe, and we got picked up, and we ended up in the same van, and it was really interesting to meet them. Yeah, nice people. So that stood out to me. And there's been others I can't remember right now, but Spiritualized was another one too. That was a cool performance.
Mm-hmm. My Bloody Valentine was kind of similar to Mazzy Star you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them getting back together?
Oh, I love that.
And releasing
idea.
This record.
I love the second record too. It's the new record. I would love to tour with them.
Maybe it will happen. I mean, now that you're getting really popular. Will you be performing songs from the second LP mostly tonight, or will it be both LPs?
It's a combination of the first record, the EP, and the new record. Mm-hmm. So you get a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. How do you translate that to live context? You know, stuff you record in a studio and then... Mm-hmm. Do the songs change, or do they the same?
They change slightly, but I'm open to new things. But they're as similar as they can be. And we spend a lot of time on making sure that they sound as close to the album as possible. But at the same time too, you know, like I said, I'm open to something fresh, anything that could happen. Spontaneity, I'm a big fan of, because you know, for me it represents life, and life is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. You know, because some musicians, when they get here in the studio and we talk about how they translate the songs to a live context, they say that playing live is the most interesting part for them, because the songs kind of get a new life.
Yeah, definitely.
You feel the same way?
For me, it's also very personal. It's the other side of the meaning behind the Soft Moon. It's when I write the music, it's this personal journey, and then very introspective, and I'm in my mind, and I'm going to places in my mind. Live is the release of all that, so it's very cathartic, and just as important, or if not more important than you know, the songs themselves.
Yeah, cathartic, as you say, is a really nice description, I think, for at least the recordings I saw of you performing live on YouTube, and I get that feeling.
Really?
It should be like that, yeah. So I think this is a great invitation for your gig tonight. Oh. I think that people, especially those who are well informed about music, they're really looking forward to your gig. So I think it should be interesting. So maybe we are out of time, and also maybe if you want to say something for the end, or just invite people over, or
For tonight. Mm. Yeah, no, just as many people as possible, they should come. It's our first time here, so, you know, who knows what will happen in the future.
Right. Okay, so thank you, Luis.
Yeah, thank you.
Takole, tole intervju z Luisom Vaskezom iz zasedbe The Soft Moon, ki jo boste, kot rečeno, danes večer ob 22.15 lahko videli v Mezi pri Koritu. Pred njimi še zasedba, domača zasedba, zelo fajn zasedba Litošt, ki začnejo ob 21.15, vrata se pa, kot rečeno, prejo ob 20.30. Intervju z Luisom sem naredil Goran Kompoš. Lep pozdrav. Blagajno ob 8.30, tako. To bi bilo to. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.